in terms of weight, I never even dreamed of getting down here. So, but still some work to do, but we're still in the process. So it's great. Still
Beautiful,
loving it.
man. So another topic of conversation today is meant to be sleep, but I'm sorry, somebody's not muted. But I think that's a really interesting thing for us all to consider. So the way I think about life is there's two things you should be, your body should be doing every day, whether or not you're thinking about it. And that's one, losing fat, burning fat at, for fuel, and two, detoxifying, always. And so if we pass nutrition through the lens of, is my body always really good at burning fat? Is my body always really good at detoxifying? We should always make dietary decisions through those lenses. We want to make sure our body is effective at burning fat for fuel all the time when we're not consuming carbohydrates. So I'll take a step back. Insulin is a storage hormone. So when insulin goes up, the body stores everything, carbs, proteins, fats. So when I'm eating carbohydrates, I assume that the percentage of fat that I'm burning is, stops, right? Or using for fuel. But the body, because when insulin is up, the body will store fat. The body will store carbohydrate, will store fat, will store protein. But after after ingesting carbohydrates, insulin levels come down. And when insulin levels come down in a healthy person, body fat starts going, fat mobilization to burn more fat for fuel goes up. And so that needs to be a constant consideration for us as humans. It's like we need to make sure that our body is always able to burn fat at rest. And there's some things that will definitively prevent you from burning fat at rest, namely elevated insulin levels. Chronically elevated insulin levels is basically the kiss of death for fat loss. Chronically elevated blood glucose is the kiss of death for fat loss. And so why do people get chronically elevated blood glucose or insulin? Right? So overeating, over consuming food causes both glucose and blood lipids to stay elevated. And then the body will keep shuttling more insulin to try to drive it home. And stress, chronically elevated stress. So if you're chronically elevating your cortisol, your body's always mobilizing more cortisol to mobilize more energy, right? So if you think of stress, your body wants to mobilize energy so you can fight or run away. That's our historical kind of wiring. So we have to be conscious of that. And this is a really good segue to the one thing I want to start, talk about today, which is why I'm starting here. So one of the things that maybe is counterintuitive to men in our society is constantly asking yourself, what have I done nice for myself today? Have I done something good for myself today? And I try to live my life through that, right? Through that lens. It's like, am I expressing the best version of myself minute to minute to minute? And something good for myself may just mean like, making the conscious decision to go for the walk or to go in the sauna or taking the time to meditate or making the time to journal. Or as an example, today I'm walking through Chinatown and I see this Eastern Chinese medicine, ancient Chinese medicine practitioner. And I was like, let's go in and see what he's got. So I did a 2-hour appointment today with a Chinese medicine practitioner. And I was like, for me, that's doing something good for myself, right? It's giving me some time to one, chill out, two, learn, three, maybe improve my health a little bit or see if there's anything wrong. I'm like, hey, maybe I can make this better. Just that as an example, right? So I encourage you guys to always pass your life through the lens of what have I done that's great for myself today? And so maybe it's like a scorecard, right? Because sometimes we do things that are like, yeah, it's probably not such a good decision for me. But we always want to end the day on a positive. We always want to end the day with at least a plus one, ideally a plus three, four, or five, right? So if you find the day, oh man, I didn't smash a piece of pizza today. Okay, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But make sure you're always trying to balance it out. Like, I'm going to go do something that balances that out. And you always want to end the day in a plus. So I thought I would start off with that because I think as men, sometimes we don't think of, one, we're not often present enough to make those conscious decisions around, like, am I doing something great for myself today? For example, I did a 90-minute yoga class this morning. I'm like, I don't always have time for it. Trust me, man. But I make time, right? It's like, I don't have time to do that. We got to make time for ourselves, or life quickly passes you by. So The topic of conversation today was sleep hacks. And it's also a very relevant transition from what I was just talking about. So if you guys realize that sleep predominantly is governed by the nervous system and the brain, then every time we practice, and I'm using that word intentionally, we practice taking our foot off the gas pedal, we're effectively training our ability to be more effective at sleep. So what does that mean? If we're constantly on the gas pedal, we're constantly going fast, we're constantly doing stuff, we're constantly in the state of doing, right? It's this high beta brainwave state. We always have something to do. I'm busy, I'm distracting myself. The nervous system and the mind and the brain are always in go. And so if we learn to practice taking our foot off the gas pedal sporadically throughout the day, your body will be more effective at turning off the gas at night. Imagine spending 16 hours a day with your throttle in full gear and then going, okay, now turn off. It doesn't work. It's a practice. It's a skill to be able to downshift your nervous system. And so you have to practice this stuff every day. So if any of you guys have a hard time particularly staying asleep, I think most people have a hard time staying asleep, not usually falling asleep. I could be wrong. You guys can tell me if you're otherwise. But these are usually two different problems to solve, right? If you can't fall asleep, it's usually a very specific problem. If you can't stay asleep, it's usually a different problem. But these are relatively simple problems to solve. The first intervention of which, that's just because it's what we're talking about, is learning how to modulate your nervous system. Have you guys ever heard of NSDR, non-sleep deep rest? Right. So what's non-sleep deep rest? It's literally learning to go internal. And it's a really beautiful practice to intentionally spend time with your exhale. So what that means is very few times throughout our day do we actually intentionally allow ourselves to follow the exhale long enough for it to calm us down, repeatedly enough for it to calm us down. So I've made a daily practice of and extending it as long as I can, as often as I can. And the more I can practice the coming, it's like a coming with the exhale. Like I'm letting my body release with the exhale. The better you get at it, you'll notice in the beginning, 10 seconds would be hard. And then eventually 20 seconds will be manageable. And then eventually 30, 40, 50 seconds is manageable on this exhale. And it's really taking your nervous system and your mind into this deeper state of, because you have to let go of the tension in your mind and in your body in order to relax. Because this is a really important kind of connection to draw the line for you guys. If I'm really tense, I have an increased demand for oxygen in the body, right? Muscular tension is muscle contraction. Muscle contraction drives more requirement for oxygen, right? Oxygen drives muscle contraction because it's driving a production of ATP. So if I have this really tense body, it's going to be very hard for me to, because the body's going to, I need to get air in, right? Or ultimately you're trying to balance your CO2 oxygen ratios. So the more you learn to come with the exhale, extend it repeatedly, the more you have to, by necessity, relax your brain, your body, and your nervous system. So if you guys are having any challenges falling asleep, staying asleep, just simply follow the exhale. And what I will encourage you is when following the exhale, the inhale tends to also extend with it. Meaning if I do a 10-second exhale, it tends to be often even a bigger inhale. I encourage you to try to limit the inhale. So it's not like when I have no inhale, what you want to have, you certainly don't want them to be a 1-to-1 ratio. I'd prefer them to be a 1-to-2 ratio. So 1 in, 2 out. Meaning if I'm breathing in for 5, I want to be out for 10. If I'm in for 2, I want to be out for 4. So you want kind of a 2-to-1 ratio of exhales to inhales. And guys, I'll tell you, if you want to change your life, it's going to happen through the nervous system. The nervous system is your access point to the subconscious mind, which is ultimately creating your identity. Your identity is creating your outcomes. If you want to change your ability to change your body composition, it's going to be through the nervous system. If you want to change your ability to access higher amounts of or peak arousal or ultimately greater amounts of calm, it's all through the nervous system. And the access point for us through the nervous system is breathing. And so the reason I started a conversation about sleep with the nervous system and ultimately maybe doing something nice for yourself that allows you to spend some time in presence in the exhale is because without the ability to do that, you're constantly going to be beating your head against the wall when it comes to sleep. And so most people say, oh, you can't drink coffee after 2 p.m. or you know, like, yeah, that's all great. But if you learn to control your nervous system, all that shit doesn't matter because you're in control of your nervous system. The breath is a much bigger lever. We think about leverage, right? So we have a number of things that are ultimate levers. And I'll talk about what the levers are for sleep. The two biggest levers beyond anything else, those three actually, but let's say I'll put all three together, even though two of them are kind of the same. One for improving your sleep is going to be this parasympathetic breathing, controlling your nervous system. The second one, maybe the most important, is light. And I'll talk about light in a minute. And the third one is ultimately the cumulative movement for the day. So there's something called sleep pressure. Sleep pressure accumulates in your brain. You guys all know, you're kind of dozing off, can't keep your eyes open. You've accumulated so much sleep pressure. That's the accumulation of adenosine in your brain. You've heard of adenosine triphosphate. Well, the accumulation of adenosine from the breakdown of ATP into ADP goes to your brain and actually accumulates adenosine in the brain. And that's what creates the sleep pressure. So the three things, again, are light, which is acting through the suprachiasmatic nucleus in the brain and telling your body how to regulate hormones. So light is maybe probably the single biggest influence on human biology. Then we look at the nervous system, so the breath. And then we look at movement and adenosine. And you'll notice, and the reason caffeine is so effective is caffeine actually wipes out adenosine. Caffeine actually works in the adenosine receptors in the brain. And so it can prevent you from having that drowsiness because it directly works on adenosine in the brain. So sleep, guys, if any of you is having a problem with sleep, like sleep should never be a problem for you, like for the rest of your life. And sleep is a skill. Sleep is a skill like riding your bicycle. Once you figure it out, you never forget. The place where you'll screw up is too much light exposure too close to bed because you'll forget it or you get lazy. You'll be watching television or you'll be on your phone. Or you'll start doing things like consuming alcohol and food before bed, which if you're doing alcohol and food before bed, it doesn't matter how much you breathe. It doesn't matter how much light you get. You're not going to sleep well because you're creating dysregulated systems in your body. Your body systems are meant to work in harmony. All the systems should be working at the same time, doing the same things. If you're trying to tell your brain and nervous system to go to sleep, but your digestive tract is awake because you're digesting food, or your liver's detoxifying alcohol, you're not sleeping. No matter how much or how long you sleep, it's going to be poor and restless. So when it comes to sleep hacks, the single biggest sleep hack has nothing to do, well, I'd say maybe there's two of them. Getting as much light exposure during the day as you can, specifically in the morning. And the other one has nothing to do with sleep at all. It has to learn to breathe and control your nervous system throughout the day. It's punctuating your day. Does anyone have a hard time falling asleep? Dominic, sometimes. Okay, so Dominic, obviously you've got some special considerations. Maybe we could talk about that another time. I'm not sure how much you want to share about that stuff, but typically the reason people have a hard time falling asleep is, again, this overstimulated nervous system. Maybe it's stimulants during the day, maybe it's light exposure during the day. And if you check all those boxes first and you're like, hey man, I'm breathing really well. My nervous system feels calm. My resting heart rate's pretty good. I'm not getting huge amounts of light exposure, 2 hours before bed, then the next intervention is supporting GABA. So you have this primary excitatory neurotransmitter called glutamate. That's what gets your brain fired up. And then GABA is the backside of glutamate. GABA is a ultimately a metabolite of glutamate that is dependent on this one enzyme called the GAD enzyme, G-A-D, and that GAD enzyme sometimes becomes the rate limiting factor in the production of glutamate. And so if we can get your body, in the production of GABA, so if your body can produce more GABA, you'll fall asleep faster. Some people have a genetic predisposition to having more GABA. Some people have a genetic predisposition to having less GABA. So it's very possible you might be one of these people who have less GABA, have a racing mind, but you can absolutely support that supplementally. Any questions? What's up, Josh? Welcome. Does anyone have a hard time staying asleep? Chris? Yeah. So oftentimes, staying asleep is typically twofold. It's your subconscious mind reminding you of things that are stressful in your life or out of place. It's one. The other one is adrenaline, which can be caused from dysregulation of blood glucose. Those seem to be the biggest culprits for waking people. So dysregulation of adrenaline is basically dysregulation of circadian rhythms, which is often due to the same thing I spoke about just a minute ago, like the lack of harmony in your organs and in your organ systems. So your system should be awake when they're awake and asleep when they're asleep, right? So humans have evolved to wake up in the morning, get lots of sunshine, get lots of movement, probably have one meal, maybe two, and then sleep. You're not eating before bed. And so when you're sleeping, all those systems are turning off. In your case of people who wake up in the middle of the night, oftentimes some of those systems are starting back up earlier, starting up, earlier in the day. Earlier in the night, some people have this circadian rhythm that's shifted early in the night, meaning where you should be starting to wake up around 5 or 6 a.m. when the sun comes up. Some people wake up at 3 and they can't fix it. It's because your circadian rhythm has just shifted 2 hours back, and you can just start. It's just a skill. It's just a practice, like extending it out. It's like every time you wake up to implement the breath practice and go back to sleep. I see a couple questions coming through. Yeah, Dominic, that's a massive one. Your environment is very big, guys. Like blackout, Dominic's saying blackout curtains and cool dark room. Like temperatures is a really big lever for deep sleep. It's going to improve deep sleep a lot. And blackout curtains is important as well. Like if you guys want to wake up feeling rejuvenated, that's definitely a way to improve the effectiveness of your sleep. Dominic, I just want to acknowledge you're looking awesome, dude. Gav sent me some videos last week. Look great, brother. Keep it up. Other levers for maximizing deep sleep. Brother, I don't know if you need any more, Keith. I think, so first of all, are you saying deep sleep specifically because your Aura or your Garmin are saying you're not getting enough deep?
Yeah, the Garmin, I've just ordered an Aura, so I think that's going to improve it. I don't really trust the Garmin, but
The Garmin is at least, if not more accurate than the Aura. But I've recently seen some data. The Garmin's actually more accurate than the Aura, which I didn't think was possible, but this is what I'm seeing all the data showing. And ironically, the most accurate is the Apple Watch, which I can't believe, but that's what most of the data is showing, is the Apple Watch is most accurate. And so they're what they suggest is the Aura and the Garmin are about 70% accurate. I think it's actually less than that specifically for deep sleep. But I think it's about 70% accurate for deep and REM, which means you have a 30% margin that could be all deep sleep. So it's saying it's light when it's actually deep, basically, right? So like you could have 30% more deep than it's showing. So and I don't put any weight in these things anymore. Like I wear a Garmin, I wear them all, man. And the only one I don't have is an Apple Watch, and I'm kind of on the fence of getting one because I have all the toys. But yeah, man, I just don't put any weight in it. Like. I used to be like, oh man, this thing's the gold standard because that's what they tell you. And then you go do a sleep test and it's nowhere near the same. Well, 67 to 70% accuracy, which is, they said it's more like 98% accuracy, but it's not. So they can actually, how they manipulate the data, they're 98% accurate when it comes to like when you fall asleep and when you wake up, and even potentially phase shifts in sleep, but they can't predict the actual phase you're in. So it's 98% or 99% accurate that you're actually sleeping, which is great. But it may say like this much light sleep when in reality it was deeper REM. And that's, you know, a lot of people are kind of placing merit or weight on that, and you shouldn't. Yes, unfortunately, it's not that reliable, man. Are you a big coffee drinker, Keith?
Only up until about 11 a.m. But okay. I don't have it never really keeps me awake. Like, it's not really something I use if I'm on a road trip or anything. I don't feel a marked effect, but I always stop around 11:30 in the morning.
Try some ketones. Can you get exogenous ketone esters?
I can look for them, yeah.
Yeah, get ketone aid. You can get ketone aid. Yeah, that'd be my best bet. Try ketone aid and tell me if that improves your deep sleep. Because for some people who are overstimulated, a little bit of ketones, because it's basically direct brain fuel. So sometimes the thing that wakes you up is your blood glucose comes down a little bit. So your brain needs fuel. If your brain doesn't have fuel, it will wake you up. So try little ketones. It's not cheap, but you only need a small amount.
Hey, Ben. I remember once on your podcast, you had said you were recommending your guys you were coaching to try MCT oil before bed. Are you still using that as well?
Exact same mechanism as the ketones. Mm-hmm. So yeah. If you're waking up in the middle of the night, definitely. Because it'll help. MCT, just like ketones, works as brain fuel, direct brain fuel, right? So the problem I have with MCT powder, if you're on a fat loss diet, I'm not sure where you are, kind of your body composition diet, it's a very quick way to get a whole bunch of saturated fat real quick. Like I do it sometimes, but it's, you know, like one tablespoon is 200-300 calories, so it adds up really quick. So depending where you are in your journey, like if you're on a fat loss diet, then go with the ketones. If you're on a bulking diet, then go with the MCT.
Thanks.
No problem.
So Ben, I'm curious, you mentioned breathing as kind of the gateway to the nervous system and kind of all that. So I don't have trouble with sleep, but I'm curious, do you recommend any specific breathing practices or any books on or any resources, I guess, to be more adept at that?
Yeah, of course. There's a lot of great books, man, to be honest. It depends kind of what level you're coming at it, but I'd say the first one, like the one I would give to, you know, like your in-laws or something, is Breath by James Nestor. And so it's Breathe or Breath. I think it's Breath. And that's super easy to read. He's a journalist. So it's written like a journalist. If you want to go a little bit deeper and you want to like read some stuff that's kind of useful, I would read The Oxygen Advantage by Patrick McEwen. And to be honest, man, just listen to the podcast. Like, I had him on my podcast 2 or 3 times. It's phenomenal. Like, the guy's a genius. So there's really kind of 3 people in the world that I would say are the experts when it comes to breathing, all of which have been on the podcast. Peter Litchfield is the top researcher in the world when it comes to, he was a horrible podcast. Sorry, Peter. He just kept coming back to I would ask you different questions. He would come back to the same answer. Like his answer for everything is breathe less. It's like, just breathe less. He's like, all these other things don't matter. Just breathe less. I was like, but what about performance? He's like, just breathe less. I was like, I don't know, man. Like there's a lot of research out, and he's the guy doing the research. It's like, just breathe less. He's like, okay. And Patrick McEwen talks about breathing less too. Patrick McEwen actually talks about LSD, low, slow, deep. So it's like, how do you breathe so lightly your nose hairs aren't disrupted? But he also gives you some valuable insights around like breath holds and extending your exhales. And so, Bill, if you want the simplest intervention, man, like there's 2 things that I literally come back to all the time. One is a box breath. So anytime I'm in a stressful situation and I need to be alert but not stressed, I go to a box breath, which is 4 in, 4 hold, 4 out, 4 hold, just like the shape of a box to start. And then you can go to 6 and then 8 and then 10 second box breathing, depending how advanced you are. That's one thing. And if I'm in a situation, which we were talking about when we started today, if I'm in a situation where I'm simply trying to calm down, I'm trying to maybe be relaxed, I'm going to more of a 2-to-1 or even a 3-to-1 exhale to inhale ratio. So if my inhale is 5 seconds, my exhale is 10 or even 15. So I'm trying to like really change the ratio of the inhale to exhales. Those are really the only 2 breath practices I use on a daily. know, then we could look at some things that are very sympathetic in nature. If you really want to get amped up for training, which is always a lot of fun, get your blood pressure cranked up and get your body fired up. But that's kind of a different approach.
Thanks.
Pleasure, brother. Anyone else have questions? All right. The one thing that I'll acknowledge in finishing up or wrapping up sleep is your environment. I encourage you all, you know, I'm guessing guys who are in this program are people who are empowered to change their life. And so there's degrees of empowerment, right? So as an example, I'll ask you this question. If you see something wrong in your life, and you're like, I could make that better, how long does it take you to fix it? I think about this a lot. And I was thinking about this morning too, actually. How I define health, my standard for my health, is very different than all of you guys, right? So we have a different level of acceptable standard. And that means what I'm willing to accept with my body composition, what I'm willing to accept with my health, what I'm willing to accept with my energy, my sleep, my commitment to my physical capability. We all have a different standard. So I encourage you guys to make conscious your standard. And so what that means is, where do you always find yourself defaulting to? Like if you find like, oh, I get in better shape and then I go back. And then I'm like, oh, I kind of pull it. I don't mind. It's okay if I don't eat that meal. Or it's okay if I don't get that workout in. It's realizing you're creating your standard. And so that lives at the level of the subconscious, right? So you have this subconscious identity, which is driving the bus, right? Your subconscious mind is who you believe you are when you're not thinking about it, right? And so the only way to change the subconscious, you know, there's some theories of thought around like, I can rewire my subconscious with like chants and incantations and speaking things into creation. That's very well possible. But I think it's like, be so good that you can't ignore it, right? Do it so many times consciously that it becomes part of your subconscious identity. So what I encourage you guys all to do is identify your subconscious limiters. Like, where am I limiting myself when it comes to body composition, training, effectiveness, health, sleep, you know, all these factors that are important when it comes to health. And realize like, well, why am I stopping there? Am I okay with stopping there? Because if you're okay with stopping there, then stop. But if you're not okay with stopping there, then ask yourself, well, what do I need to do every single day? What do I need to commit to every single day to move the needle on that, right? So if you're not happy with the body composition, there's nothing wrong with you. It's not your genetics. It's not your inability to do it. It's just the fact that you've created this subconscious identity, which is limiting your progress. So we just have to rewrite your subconscious identity. And how do we rewrite your subconscious identity? Through daily action. That's it. Right. And so, you know, like I said, there is some thought that you could rewrite it in other ways that are like instant, maybe so hypnosis and psychedelic drugs and so many things that could potentially rewrite your subconscious. But the most effective way in my mind is like, just do it repeatedly until you start to believe yourself. Like, oh, this is me. Like, you know, like as an example, I have a belief that I get lean incredibly easy. I also gain fat incredibly easy, but I know that I get lean incredibly easy. So if I watch my diet, like really watch my diet for 30 days, I can get my body lean like that. And I just know that because I've done it so many times. I just know how to do it. And that's a belief system. And I'm like, yeah, I just know what to do. Doesn't mean I always prioritize it. Just means like, yeah, I know how to do that. That's a belief for me. And that's part of my identity. I know how to work hard. I know the cardio plan I need. I know the diet plan I need. It's just like, it's almost like an operating system. You guys ever hear me talk about that? It's a useful framework. So we have some people, anyone busy with work right now? Is anyone here so busy that you're like, man, I can't always make time for the gym. I can't always make time for nutrition. I can't always make time for my family. It happens. And there's going to be seasons of life where you're like, I have too much time on my hands. There's going to be seasons of life where you're like, I don't know what to do with myself because I'm too busy. And so what I encourage you guys to create is an operating system. You need an operating system for when you're busy. I have an operating system for when I'm flying or traveling. I have an operating system for when it's my kid's birthday. Like I have operating systems that I've created over the years where I'm like, I know exactly how to operate when that thing comes up. Right. And so if there's a period of my life where I'm like, hey, I got to go to Costa Rica in 30 days, maybe I should pay attention a little bit more to how I'm eating and training, flip the operating system. Right. And if it's like, hey, I'm kind of chilling out right now, I don't have a lot of time, you know, my time for training is a little bit limited, flip the operating system, change the way you train, change the way you eat, right? Change the way you meditate. Like all these things are operating systems. This can be a dynamic thing. And so I encourage you guys all just be the root of it all is you got to become aware of it. And the thing that most people miss is they're just so mindless. And I don't know about you guys, but I can't speak for you, but like so many people are so mindless going day to day, they just don't pay attention to the opportunity that sits in front of them to change or evolve or grow or expand or be. What else have you, gentlemen? Andrew, what you got?
Stop. It might be a little loud. The little ones just got home. But I guess another thing is a question that I get kind of often is as far as sleep is I sleep on my side because I fall asleep faster, but I toss and turn, right? So like, what's the ideal sleep position, sleeping on your back or sleeping on your side, right? And for me, I've had a history with football. And so same kind of thing. I've always fallen asleep faster on my side and I hug a pillow and I find that works for me. But if I had like a highlight reel of the best sleep that I've ever gotten, it's on my back with mouth tape and temperature and all the things, right? So I'm just curious if you have an opinion as far as side or back.
I have a ton of opinions. So the reality is it's completely dependent on your posture. So if you have poor posture where your head is forward, then you end up sleeping like this, you're going to snore. So if anyone has that like forward head posture or slouch spine, the likelihood of you sleeping on your back is basically zero because you're going to snore because you're going to end up in this position. You're going to get, so you got to sleep on your sides. But if you have good posture, and how do we get good posture? Meditation is probably the number one way to improve your posture, I think, like because it's breathing and it's postural, vertical postural alignment. Then you can sleep kind of any way you want. And I think I always look at somebody's posture, and anyone who's really muscular, their posture is going to be dysfunctional because you got so much weight weighting down the skeleton. But I think in general, if you have great posture, sleeping on your back is fine, or sleeping on your side is probably fine also. But I would say posture is maybe that one missing piece that people aren't paying attention to. So if you guys walk every day, like Dave, I see you there walking, how much awareness can you bring to the position of your rib cage relative to your pelvis? So like your rib cage and your pelvis should be stacked vertically. And typically what happens is people will flare the rib cage up and stick their butt out or some version of that. And so just pay attention to like, can you keep your rib cage and your pelvis vertically stacked? You know, so basically your ear, your shoulder, your hip, your knee and your ankle should be stacked if you were to stop. And then start paying attention to not allowing yourself to rock, right? So it's not this like sway at the spine. It's a rotation at the spine. So you're like rotating on an axis. Like most people kind of walk like a, you know, like it's like this extension flexion thing at the spine. That's not going to be, I mean, it's just it's not a bad thing necessarily, but really we want to have more of a rotational axis when you're walking. Anyways, point being, walking is a very good indication of your resting posture, your seated posture. So, you know, walking is kind of the progression. So if you guys want to know how I think about it, the first place I'm going to assess you if we're working together is I'm going to see what you look like seated. Just sit on the ground. Are you able to keep a vertical spine comfortably, right? So are you able to do it first with knees bent, then with legs straight? Can you keep a vertical spine? Or, you know, then can you take your hands above your head sitting vertically, right? If you can't do that when you're sitting vertically, then right off the bat, it's a postural problem. Your sleep's going to be dysfunctional. Then the next progression is what does walking look like? Then the next progression is lunging, right? Then the next progression is squatting. And that's how we kind of unwind the progression toward, hey, this person's actually functioning really well with great posture. And we're able to load the spine really well. But it all starts with sitting on the ground. So like it's simply meditation, right? So start on the cushion and then decrease the size of the cushion. So eventually you're sitting on the ground and that spine will be vertical. How many of you guys could sit for 5 minutes and meditate without having to prop yourself up? Good. Practice it. And do it as a challenge to yourself, 5 minutes a day. It doesn't have to be in the morning, just when you're sitting on the you know, at the end of the day watching television. Sit there, no hands, no slouching, sit up straight. And I suggest you close your eyes so you can learn to breathe deeply. Because and here's the thing, I don't want you to consciously adjust your posture. I don't want you to be doing stuff like this. I want your breathing to be the thing that adjusts your posture. Because I breathe deeply in, deeply out. Both of those adjust my posture. Like, you'll feel it adjust your posture if you can learn to breathe kind of in 360 degrees. I know I talk about this stuff a lot, but it's a very important lever. Once you guys get it, you'll be like, fuck, I can't believe I didn't do this before. It's one of those, you know, you're like, you know, what would I tell my 18-year-old self? What do I tell my kids every day? Guys, it's just breathing.
Like, man, I just want to share real quick, if I may.
Yeah, go ahead, Chris.
Something that's been helpful for me, I had a lot of knee injuries in the past, and I had to figure out, like, all right, am I doing PRP? What's going on? So had some stuff done, but the number one thing that made a huge difference was sitting on the ground and moving in and out of different positions. So like Seiza, you know, crisscross, you name it. But also anchoring that practice to something for what you just said. So if I'm talking to the missus, if I'm watching a movie, if I'm hanging out with my daughter, I'm on the ground, which happens at least one of those things happens at least once a day. So that was super helpful. Just getting down on the ground, but finding an anchor, something to anchor to, is super helpful.
Totally. Yeah. That's how I anchor my mobility to brushing my teeth. Like, I'm like, I'm going to be here for 3 to 5 minutes. I'm going to move. I'm going to dance. I'm going to play up, or I'm going to do mobility. One of them, like, I'm going to get my body moving for sure. Every time I brush my teeth. That's very helpful. You have to connect the habits. Otherwise you'll forget. Dominic, it's not the bed. I would sit on a floor, but you could probably use a cushion or like a meditation cushion, something like that. It's a little bit elevated for you, because in the beginning, it may be hard for you to sit on the ground with a straight spine. So the key is having a straight spine. A straight spine is more important than sitting on the ground. Sitting on the ground is like an end result if you want to get there. But if you can't get there in the beginning, the key is having a straight spine. So you'll get like meditation chairs, which are, you know, maybe 6 inches off the ground. You get meditation cushions, which are like 3-4 inches off the ground. And that'll help you be a little bit more upright. Thanks, Donnie. John, any questions other than sleep related? You can continue to ask sleep questions or anything other than this. You guys have any challenges? How I encourage you to live your life, at least in the duration of the coaching we're together, the time we're coaching together, is like, always become aware of, well, what is my standard? I always ask the question, why did you stop? So why did you not eat the meal you were supposed to? Why did you not do the workout you were supposed to? Why did you not do the cardio? Just become aware of the dialogue you're having and why you didn't do the thing you're supposed to do, if you don't, right? If you're doing it, then keep going. You're doing great. If there's ever like, I didn't do it because, you know, this, it's all just bullshit. It's all a story. So, become aware of it, because those are the things we can help you with, because all your challenges are common, right? Your gifts are unique. Your challenges are common. I want you guys to remember that.
I have one more question about sleep. I don't know if anybody else has this problem, but I've got a chili pad to keep my bed cool, but my pillow always gets hot. And I find when I wake up, if my pillow's hot, I flip it. Sometimes I keep 2-3 spare ones and I rotate to try to get a cold one in. Is there any hacks at all for keeping the pillow itself cold?
Dude, there's your multi-million dollar idea, man. Get a fucking chili pillow. I can't believe I haven't done it
yet. I know. I've looked and I can't find one anywhere. I'm like, why don't they just release that for the pillow? Because I think that's almost more important than the mattress.
Hold it, man. When I first started working with them, which is like 2017, I was like, why don't you have a pillow?
All right. There you go, Ben. Let's get on that.
Maybe it's because of the radiation. I'm curious if it's because of EMF, because like those pads almost always have some degree of EMF. And if they radiate someone's heads, we got brain cancer or something, that might be bad news.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know the degree, but I know when I tested mine, I gave mine away. I had a chili pad. And then afterwards I got the Uller. I think the Uller was better. Same company. The chili pad originally was pretty shitty for EMFs. because you had this box that you put under your bed. I was like, no, not putting that thing under my bed. So I think the Uller was better because I complained about it. I was like, guys, you can't, I'm not selling this. Like once I got it, I used it for a couple of months. I was like, no.
But the Uller was, that's what I have is the Uller. Got whatever their latest one is, but now they've stopped delivering to Canada as well. So I don't know what's going on with the company, or I can't get them to reply to me because I need to.
Justin Trudeau probably said, you know what, man, you're not allowed, this is, we're turning communist, Chris. You're not allowed to have anything anymore.
I know. He's killing me with duty on all the supplements and everything.
That's brutal, man. It's not yet.
Oh, he's awful. We probably shouldn't get a story about that. We'll probably get shut down here if we do it a bit too long. So,
yeah, I'm surprised he's still in there. Anyways, so I don't have a solution.
Okay.
Another question for you, Ben.
Sure, brother.
I'm bringing Pops to the retreat in December and really looking forward to it. He just recently got into the weight training realm or got back into it maybe 3 years ago. And his primary question that he answered on the registration form was just learning more about sleep, which is what we're talking about today. So do you have any advice for someone like him who hasn't been exposed to this much information or the amount of information that you're probably going to deliver in December? Like, what would you recommend that he, you know, because he wants to make sure that he takes something from the event that he can apply consistently.
So it's one thing, man.
Go ahead.
The level of information delivered will be specific to every person. So the reason we keep the camp really small, so that everyone gets their questions answered. So there'll be time that I spend directly with you. There'll be time I spend directly with him. All the coaches will spend time directly with everybody. So he'll have a lot of information, probably too much. And so what does he do? Like, so for me to answer that question, I always need context.
Sure.
I'm like, so because I can't be like, oh man, you need a Uller or you need a blackout curtains. Like, what does his day look like? Right. So I'll back up and go high level. Like, what does his day look like?
Yeah. So sales and advertising. So he's back to back calls. He's driving around all day. He's in meetings. He organizes his own schedule. But that's the thing, right? Like, his schedule could be more organized. And again, you have experience with this, maybe you don't, but it's tough to like hear that from another family member or his son, in terms of giving him tips. So it's like, it's straightening that stuff up. I don't think it's just sleep. It's a disorganized schedule.
Yeah, man. As a sales guy, sometimes you're kind of a prisoner to your job. You're like, I gotta make the sale. I gotta be on top of it. Cause that's what makes you a great salesman. And so maybe there's some, and I noticed, so we work with some Navy SEALs on our team, and I noticed that every one of them has an hour at the end of the day before they go home that they call focus time. So like from 4 to 5 or 5 to 6, every one of them has this hour block before they go home. And my question is always to each of them, what do you do during focus time? And they're like, what I don't do is work. Mm-hmm. And so before they go home, they learn to like turn that off. So it's like they maybe a run, maybe a walk, maybe a meditation session, maybe reflection, maybe journaling what you got to do for the next day. But say, what I don't do is work. Like, that's interesting. So everyone's got different practices, but they all have the commonality that they end their day with something that's kind of closed. It's like it's consistent and it closes the day in their brain. Like, okay, I know that I'm done. I know I'll start again tomorrow when I get up. And that may be a useful practice for him because like depending what he's experiencing when it comes to sleep, sometimes I get it. My life is my job. My job is my life. And it bleeds into it, man. Like I am my business, you know? So it bleeds into it. So like having that practice for me is helpful as well. So the way I do it, it's like I'll dim the lights. So once my lights go off in my house, there's no more phones, there's no more computers. I just dim the lights and I'll stay up as long as I want to, but not allowed to turn the lights on. So and what I notice is within 45 minutes of dimming the lights, you're out. You're like, I'm done. Sure. So that's kind of my practice.
Yeah. Cool. Awesome. Thank you.
I look forward to meeting him. And you. Any other questions, guys? Guys, I'll let you go. I appreciate you making the time. Lots of I'm pumped about Costa Rica. I'm not sure who's coming, who's not. And no like guilt trip. But we're gonna have some fun stuff, some very fun stuff going on. Keeps building. I'm like, this is gonna be fun. And for anyone who isn't aware of like the second half, some people are coming to like the first 3 days and there's another 4 days afterwards. If you guys want some information on that, just reach out to me personally on Telegram, because it's a small group. We basically just rented really a couple of really nice houses. We have a chef. We have a lady come and teach yoga every day, breathwork every day, some like communication time, some physical challenges. So, and there's some amazing humans coming. So all my guys are coming. All my clients are awesome human beings. Guys, I appreciate you being here. Thanks for making the time. I don't take it lightly. Have a great week. Let's all crush it, and I'll see you again next week. See you guys.